Romans chapter 8. Up to verse 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now the subject is the Holy Spirit and prayer, and the verses that we're going to be dealing with is verse 26 through to 27. And I want to start by saying to you that we need to remember that the controlling factor and dynamic in our walk with God is the Holy Spirit. We should never forget that. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, has taken up residence within us, for he who does not have the Spirit does not have Christ, and he who has Christ has the Spirit, according to verse 9. The Spirit of God lives in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who causes us to walk after the Spirit, after himself, after the things that he is interested in. And he's interested in the glory of Jesus and the holiness of God. So the Holy Spirit causes us to walk, in other words, to live in that way. And we need to bear in mind that the controlling factor then in our walk with God is the Holy Spirit, who always directs us through God's Word. This is the Word that we hear. This is the voice that we have. We don't have prophets today. We don't have those prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah who can confront us and tell us what we should do. God is finished with prophets. He has spoken once and for all to us through his Son. And because Jesus is at the throne of God and is no longer on earth in the flesh, we can't hear him speaking to us in that way. So Jesus speaks to us now through his Word. And the whole of the Word of God, all 66 books, constitute the Word that God wants us to hear today. This is the prophet, if I can put it that way. It's the Word of God. And the duty of the preacher now is to expound what God has said. So in the Old Testament days, you had prophets. In New Testament days, even in the very early days, you had people who were designated as prophets because there was no New Testament in those days. New Testament was being written. And these prophets expounded what God's will was and explained the gospel to people. Now that form of prophecy is now given way to preaching because we have the whole of God's Word. And so the way in which we hear God's Word today is by a preacher or a teacher expounding it. And the Holy Spirit takes that act of expounding the Word and makes it alive to us and quickens us and gives us understanding. And the Holy Spirit guides us in our walk with God according to how the Word of God is expounded to us and according to our commitment to God's Word. So the controlling factor in our walk with God then is the Holy Spirit. From the moment of justification, from the moment that we are born again, the Spirit enters into us and commences his work of what we call sanctification. That is, making us holy, setting us apart. He enlightens us, he leads us, he enables us to delight in God's Word and in his law. And he's preparing us all the time for that ultimate glorification when we will be ushered into the presence of God. But now in these two verses, 26 and 27, we come to a further ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And here we read that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, especially in regard to prayer. But I want you to notice how this verse starts. It starts in the same way. Those are the words. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you read those words, there are two possibilities. First of all, it can be pointing you back to verse 16. Go back to verse 16, and there you will see it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In other words, here is the Holy Spirit coming alongside of us and helping us to be sure that we are the children of God, helping us, in other words, in our weakness and in our need for assurance. Now you go down to verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You see the link? And so it may well be that the Holy Spirit is helping us in our prayer life and in our daily weakness, as he does by giving us assurance. On the other hand, it may be that the Holy Spirit helps us in the same way that our Christian hope sustains us. See what it says in verse 25 and verse 24? For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for that what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In other words, our hope keeps us going. That great looking forward, that great anticipation keeps us going. And so our hope sustains us. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit comes and sustains us during the difficulties and the ambiguities of living in this world, where we are saved, not yet in heaven. So we're living in this in-between time, where we've experienced God's salvation, but we haven't yet got into heaven, and we're living in this world as saved people, but full of all of the fallenness of our human natures and the fallenness of the world round about us. So the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and he helps us in this way. So in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Keeping in touch with the Father while we travel as pilgrims through this world is the most important thing of all. We need to know how to receive God's blessings. That is most vital to us, and it's most vital to our well-being. But now, in that regard, we usually have a very great problem. And the problem that most of us have in the Christian faith, in the Christian life, is this problem of praying, this problem of prayer. And so the first thing we want to consider for a moment, then, is the problem of prayer. And you'll see in verse 26, it says, we do not know what to pray for. This is one of the great problems of the Christian life. And it's a problem in which the Holy Spirit steps in and he gives us his help. The question is, how? Because prayer sometimes constitutes the greatest problem that we have in the Christian life. We all feel guilty about our prayers or our lack of it. We all feel ignorant. We all feel unsure about how to go about it. We all feel that we're not making contact from time to time. And we often wonder whether or not we really are spiritual people because we can't pray properly. Now the problem arises, says the Apostle Paul, because of our weakness. Have a look at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. So immediately we are confronted with one of the great problems in the Christian life, and that is the problem of prayer. And Paul says this stems out of our weakness. But the question is, what does he mean by weakness here in this context? Now you will notice that the word weakness is singular in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Not our weaknesses, you see? It does not refer to the many weaknesses which we all have, the plural. Now, when we talk about our weaknesses, we talk usually about our sins. And what the apostle wants us to understand here is that while weakness may encompass all of our weaknesses, he's talking about a general condition that is true of all of us, a general state, a general condition. And this general state and general condition that is true of all of us who are human beings and all of us who are Christians, is that we are in a state of weakness. While we are in this world, we are weak people. While we are trying to live for God in this world, we are weak people. And the strongest among us is still beset with weakness. So when Paul writes about us being weak, he means that we lack strength. Now, lacking strength is not sinful in and of itself, but our general state of lacking strength often leads to sinful weaknesses. We're just weak people. We have lost our perfection. We no longer have the strength that comes from that perfect condition of being in Eden when sin wasn't in the world. Sin is in the world. And so we are all weak people in a general sort of a way because we are all living in a fallen state. And so sometimes that fallen condition may lead to sinful weaknesses. And this weakness refers to the condition of man since the fall. And so we battle with things like tiredness, we battle with illness, we battle with disease, we are perplexed by our circumstances, we become discouraged, we are unable to discern always what the right course of action should be. Should I do this? Should I do that? How do I deal with this problem? We don't often know where to turn and we don't know what to do. And this is the kind of weakness that Paul is talking about. So immediately we are confronted by this great problem, and it's the problem of weakness when we come to pray. So the problem of prayer consists in our weakness, which makes it very difficult for us to know what to say when we come to pray. So the special manifestation, the special area of weakness that we have when it comes to our walk with God is in this area of prayer. Because in verse 26 it says, we do not know what we ought to pray. That's our special area of weakness. Now, my friends, that is true of you and it's true of me, as you'll see in just a moment. See, we don't always know what to say in a given set of circumstances. We don't know what we should be uttering before God. We are often in the midst of trials, often in the midst of troubles, and then we say to ourselves, what should we pray for? And because we are poor and ignorant and weak people, we often pray for the wrong thing, or we just don't know what to pray for, and we don't know what to say to God. And we are just left without words to utter to him. So we often offer the wrong petitions. And when we sometimes go to God with the wrong prayers, these are all illustrations. These are all evidences of our general state of weakness. We don't know what to actually say. We are very perplexed from time to time. Even the Lord Jesus was perplexed on one occasion. Did you know that? In John chapter 12 and verse 27, he said, and now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, deliver me. But this is the reason why I came into the world. Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ knew his Father's plan, and so he knew he had to go ahead with it. But even he, troubled in his heart, troubled in his spirit as he approached the cross, said, Lord, what shall I say? And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But it wasn't God's will for the cup to pass from him. So how to pray, we know. We know how to pray because we can all formulate petitions. We can all speak sentences. We can all verbalize something. We can write out a prayer if necessary. We can all go into the presence of God and actually say something. We know that. But what to pray for is the problem. What is it that we should actually be presenting to him? And that's where we are perplexed. And that's our special area of weakness. That's the special display, the special area of weakness in our walk with God. And the common mistake that people often make when they are perplexed by prayer and they don't know what to say to God is that very often when we find ourselves in a quandary and we don't actually know how to utter our prayers or how to pray, we assume that it is a reflection on our spiritual standing. We all felt guilty about it in one way or another. We feel we don't pray enough. We feel we don't pray properly. We feel we don't actually know how to address God. We feel somehow guilty when it comes to prayer. We feel it's a reflection on our spiritual standing because we've got this quandary with prayer and we don't know what to actually say to Almighty God. And our enemy, the devil, will often suggest to us that in fact there is something wrong with our standing with God. Now let me say this, that if you are living outside of God's will and you are deliberately doing wrong things, it will impact your prayer life and you won't be able to pray properly and be heard by God. I know some people, by the way, who have been king-size hypocrites in their lives, who pray the most beautiful prayers, but they're not heard by God because their lives are not right with God. So I want to make that statement that it is possible that sometimes wrong living can impact our prayers. But that is not the problem that Paul is addressing here in this chapter now. He's simply talking about the weakness that besets all of us, that makes it difficult for us to know what we should be praying for. And the devil sometimes comes along, and in that moment of weakness, when we are in prayer, says, you see, you're not really a Christian. God's not going to really hear you, or there's something wrong with you when you pray. And so we think sometimes that because we find it difficult to pray, that we're not right spiritually. But what we need to understand is that sometimes our quandary, our problem, our difficulties in prayer, rather than proving we are not God's children, is a proof that we are the children of God. Because this is what the Bible says about the children of God, that they don't know what to pray. That we have this problem with prayer. And it's amazing how the children of the devil sometimes can utter prayers quite easily. Even Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day, he says, you know, you think that you're heard by God because you utter these long prayers on the street corners. And people who are not Christians, often religious people find it very easy to pray. But Christian people find it difficult to pray. But true Christians, for whom prayer is a deeply spiritual exercise, who are trying to make contact with the deity, with Almighty God, find that there are huge problems deep down inside in their hearts. They're conscious of their sinfulness, conscious of the distractions in their mind. They feel unworthy all the time when they come into the presence of God. These are the signs of people who are truly the children of God. Because people who are not the children of God don't worry about these things. They can sail away into great utterances. And those utterances are not really prayers at all. And so what we need to understand is that when we do have these problems that we have with our prayer lives, rather than proving that we're not the children of God, they are proof, in fact, that we are, because the Bible teaches us the children of God have problems with prayer. Now have a look at verse 26 again. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, to illustrate what this means, imagine for a moment that you're driving along in your car over a mountain pass. And as you're driving over this narrow mountain pass, you come across a huge tree trunk that's lying right across the road. And you can't get past it with your vehicle. So you get out of your car and you try to move the tree trunk. But you find that the trunk is too heavy. The log is too heavy for you to move. And much as you heave and puff, you can't actually move it. But out of the woods come a couple of woodcutters. And they say to you, we'll help you. So they take the other end of the log and you take the one end. And between you, you're able to move the log out of the way. So this word means two people picking up a heavy object opposite to each other, giving each other a helping hand with a heavy load. The one person on the one end of the log, and you on the other end of the log, and the person on the far end is helping you to move that heavy load. This is the way the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. He comes together on the opposite end of the problem to take it up with us. Now the Holy Spirit helps us in this way. Now the inference for us as Christians is that Christians can carry very heavy loads and burdens. And sometimes when we come to pray, we are perplexed. We don't know how to actually express these things to God in prayer. I'm often like that. I often say to God, I don't know what to say to you, Lord. I have met this person or I've got this difficulty and it is so complicated, I don't even know how to begin to explain it to you. That sometimes human lives get themselves so mixed up and so complicated that it's very hard to actually even express the different aspects of the problem to Almighty God. So I get perplexed in prayer. But the Holy Spirit comes and He helps me with this great log of prayer that I can't move, I can't express this huge desire, this problem that I want to express to God. And I'm trying very hard to express it and I can't express it. So the Holy Spirit comes and He gives me a helping hand. He takes hold of the other side of the log and He helps me to actually present it to Almighty God. Our Lord Jesus gave us a little picture of this in Matthew 11:28 when He says, take My yoke upon you. You see, Jesus offers us to be yoked to Him and we will perform the labors of life together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's the same with the Holy Spirit. When we come to pray, the Holy Spirit comes and He offers to labor with us in this business of prayer. Now would you notice that we are not taught that the Holy Spirit does all the work of praying and we do nothing? See? Sometimes people say, all you got to do is just let go and trust God. And just go with the flow and trust God. That is not what the Scripture says here. The Holy Spirit does not take the whole burden. He takes up one end of the burden. There's never any passivity taught in Scripture. You're never taught to be passive in Scripture. You're always taught to be active. Always taught to be out there. Always taught to be doing something for God. And in prayer, we are to do the praying and the doing. And the Holy Spirit helps us. Of course, we can't be doing anything for our salvation. That is dependent on God's grace entirely, but not prayer. Not anything else in the Christian life. Of course, everything is by grace. We know that. But in terms of actually performing the function, we are called upon to do it. And the Holy Spirit comes and He picks up the burden with us. And He helps us. So He comes over against the problem and He takes it up with us. And that is what the word helps means in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit comes over against the problem and helps us in our weakness. Now, let's have a look a little bit more closely at the Holy Spirit's method of helping us. And we are told this, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's the way He helps us. He intercedes for us. The word means to be rescued by somebody who comes across another person who is in trouble, much like the Good Samaritan, who stopped and helped that man in trouble along the road. He was actually interceding for that man. See? Now, before we can understand that properly, we've got to have a look at the next phrase that lies before us, which is the phrase that says groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit comes over alongside the problem, helps us with it, takes up the other end of it, and He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Wordless groaning. Now, what on earth does this mean? The Holy Spirit identifies with our groans, with us who are His people, living in this world full of difficulties and struggles, with all of the imperfections and the weaknesses of the flesh and fallen earthbound bodies. And the Holy Spirit comes and shares with us in our longing for the final freedom from this body of death and the longing that we have for the glory that is to come. And so the Holy Spirit comes and shares with us in that way, and it is expressed by Paul as wordless groanings. In other words, the Holy Spirit enters with us into our longings, into our groaning. You remember earlier on, it says we ourselves groan in this flesh, waiting for our adoption as children of God. There's a sense in which life is a groan, do you see? There's a sense in which like the whole universe is groaning. There's a sense in which there's a longing and an anticipation that the Holy Spirit comes and moves alongside of us and shares in our groaning with us. So three persons are involved in our praying. First, we ourselves, in our weakness, do not know what to pray for. Secondly, the indwelling Spirit helps us by interceding for us and through us with speechless groans, but according to God's will. Thirdly, God the Father, who both searches our hearts and knows the Spirit's mind, hears and answers accordingly. Of these actors, however, it is the Spirit who is emphasized. Paul makes three statements about Him. First, the Spirit helps us because of our weakly, half-saved situation. Secondly, the Spirit intercedes for us because of our ignorance of what to pray for. And thirdly, the Spirit intercedes according to God's will, and therefore God listens and responds. So in other words, what we've got in this passage are three ways in which groaning takes place. First of all, the creation groans in verse 22. Have a look at that again. In verse 22, There's creation groaning, longing. And then in verse 23, we, the Christians, the church, we are groaning. We groan. We ourselves are groaning, waiting for the glory to come. And then now in verse 26, the Holy Spirit groans. He enters with us into our struggles. And He groans with us as we lift the log. And He's sharing with us in our pain and in our weakness. And so, the Holy Spirit comes across us in our weakness, in our perplexity. Here we are stuck on the road of prayer. We don't know how to move the log. We don't know what to say to God. The Holy Spirit says, I will help you, takes the other side of the log, and in that situation, He becomes our advocate. And He begins to groan and heave with us as we bring our petitions to God. And He begins to move us to tell us what to pray. Now let me just tell you what this means when it talks about interceding. It tells us that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. Advocates intercede for us. You see? Now an advocate advises a client what to say. And the Holy Spirit does this for us. He formulates our petitions for us. He knows what our needs are, what we're trying to say. And He instructs and He guides. There are two kinds of advocates that we have as Christians and that we benefit from. One is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our advocate with the Father and pleads for us. And the other is the Holy Spirit, our advocate. He does not represent us in the same way that Jesus does. He tells us what to say and He guides us in our walk. Jesus is our advocate in heaven who makes it possible for us to be accepted by God because of His intercession. In other words, because of what He did for us on the cross. The Holy Spirit is our advocate on earth, helping us and guiding us in our walk with God and instructing us in this matter of prayer what to say. When the great courtroom of heaven needs to be addressed on our behalf, our advocate is Jesus. When, however, we have to prepare our case and we need to know what to say to God, our advocate is the Holy Spirit. We've got two advocates. The one is Jesus and the other is the Spirit. The Lord Jesus, who makes it possible for us to be accepted by the Father because of His death on the cross, and the Holy Spirit, who helps us in the actual action of walking with God, reaching out to Him, and praying and speaking to God while we are here on earth. So, when we come to prayer, the ideas that come into our mind, the thoughts that pop into our minds, the suggestions come from Him who knows what is best. Now, when you go to prayer, you may think your thoughts are very weak. You may think your words are very weak. You may think that the way you put your sentences together are very weak. You may find your sentences trailing off. You may find your thoughts jumping around. You may feel that you don't actually know how to actually put your thoughts together. But when you come in the name of Jesus into your Father's presence, however weak your prayers are, the Holy Spirit is the unseen advocate helping you, urging you, guiding you in your prayer. But when you are in prayer, and all those thoughts come into your mind where you're praying for God to help you and to bless you and to make you a witness to others, those are all from the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say that there is an element of mystery here, but it is a very real part of Christian experience, because often we have no words to utter. All we can do is groan and sigh in the presence of God. But even those very groans are prompted by the Holy Spirit when you're a child of God and you're in His presence. Sometimes you may be so perplexed by the problems that have come upon you, that all you can do, as I've often done in the past, is get before God and just say, oh God, I have told God this very week, I don't know what to say. And I sit there in silence before Him. The very silence before Him is prompted by the Holy Spirit. The sighs and the utterances are prompted by the Spirit. And all we know is that this consciousness, this longing that we have for God that we can't always fully express, is all been born on the other side by the Holy Spirit, making it intelligible to Almighty God. God knows all these things. The Holy Spirit is God. He knows what's going on in our hearts, and He produces this longing, this feeling that works within us, these petitions, these utterances that we express sometimes without words, but just with sighs, just saying, oh God, 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 how long? I just wish things would happen in so-and-so's life. And you can't actually articulate what you're wishing for, but the Holy Spirit knows what you're wishing for, and He's picking up the other side of the burden. You see? He's picking it all up. So would you bear in mind that this is a special action of the Holy Spirit, not the ordinary work of the Spirit. It's something special He does for us, for His children, especially when we're under pressure, when we're ill, when we're sick, and sometimes when you suffer from depression, it's the same thing. You can't pray when you're battling, you're struggling, you're worried, you're anxious about things. When your heart is reaching out to God on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, your advocate, carrying the other end of the burden. He moves you to sigh. He moves you to groan. He moves you to think. He moves you to long. He advises you. And even though you can't use words, the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groans which cannot be uttered, with longings, prayers that words cannot express. Verse 27. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. What can we say about them? Number one, God hears them, because He searches our hearts. He knows our hearts. No one else does. We are His. He knows our hearts. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So our wordless prayers are heard by God. We have wishes often, desires, ideas, aspirations, groanings that the world doesn't know anything about, but God knows them. So words are not always necessary. He hears the faintest whisper of our hearts. It's all known to God. The slightest movement in us that is Godward is heard by Him. Secondly, God not only hears our prayers, but He understands them, because it says He knows the mind of the Spirit in verse 27. So He not only hears our groanings and sighs, but He understands them, because the Holy Spirit creates that groaning, and God knows the mind of the Spirit. God knows the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit is creating these sighs and longings and prayers within us. God knows them. He understands them. He accepts them. He understands them. Thirdly, God approves them, because it's the Spirit who intercedes for the saints, it says. And if it's the Spirit interceding for the saints, and the Spirit is God, God approves them and accepts them. And He welcomes our sighs and our prayers, however weak they may be, because God knows the meanings of our sighs and our wordless groans. Then fourthly, these wordless groans and prayers that we pray are approved by God and are in accordance with His will. Why are they in accordance with His will? Because the Holy Spirit prays in accordance with His will. The Spirit intercedes for saints in accordance with God's will. So when you are there before God and you're thinking, oh Lord, I can't even pray tonight. Listen, if you're going to get lazy and say, oh boy, you know, the Holy Spirit prays through me, so I don't have to pray too much tonight. Lord, you know what's in my heart, good night. That is not in God's will. Because this is an extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit does move us to pray, even though we can't actually utter these words, when we come to God in Jesus' name to pray for things that promote the cause of the kingdom, they're always in accordance with God's will, because the Holy Spirit will always lead us to pray for the glory of Christ and for the promotion of the kingdom of God. Always. So whether you're praying for the salvation of a loved one or for somebody who's in trouble, it's all part of the promotion of God's glory. God will hear that, providing you come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God sometimes does allow us to be tried. If we become perplexed, He sends His Spirit to carry out His will on behalf of His struggling children, and we do go through these difficult times, and the Holy Spirit does help us, even though we may not be conscious of it. And then we are praying in accordance with His will, and yet we are thinking that our prayers count for nothing. In the meantime, they're all treasured up by God. And then finally, we need to remember that this help of the Holy Spirit, this special intercession of the Holy Spirit, is the special privilege of the children of God. It's all for the saints. It's not for other people, it's for God's children. If you find yourself groaning, longing for God in this way, it is evidence that you belong to Him. And this is a great answer to your enemy, you know, who suggests to you so often that, you know, you don't belong to God at all. He doesn't care about you. You're just a battler and a struggler. You're worth nothing to the kingdom of God. Look at how weakly you pray. Look how shoddy your prayers are. Just look at it. And in answer to that, you turn to this passage and say, here is my evidence that I belong to God. The Holy Spirit is interceding for me, coming alongside of me and helping me. So, my friends, what you need to do is to remember that you've got a very glorious salvation. You need to learn to rejoice in it. You must get out of your misery, out of your depression. Remember, your Father loves you. He loves your groans. He loves your sighs. They're all heard and known to Him. And remember that the Holy Spirit is helping you. And one day, friends, you will be perfect, spotless, glorified in His great and glorious presence, where there'll be no more need for groans and sighs. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we may accept these things as very important things and not treat them in a light way, nor leave ears if we haven't heard anything important. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may catch the glory of what is said, that you will overrule the weakness and the frailty of the human teacher and preacher, and that you will put into our hearts such a gratitude for what you've done for us, such a sense of joy and victory and assurance and of belonging and safety and security in you. We pray that we may remember that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, helping us and assisting us, even in our weakness. And we pray that we may be encouraged and be filled with joy, so that we may live to your glory. For His name's sake. Amen.